Roll call.
Commissioner Hetherington, present. Commissioner Marks.
Here.
Commissioner O'Grady.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie.
Here.
Chairperson O'Keefe.
Here.
And the record will reflect that Commissioners Jack and Slane are excused absences.
Is there any Planning Commission business?
Yes, there is. I have a couple of items for the Commission. Vice Chairperson Fonzie met with their counterparts on the City Council, they inquired as to when tree mitigation fees, might be updated to reflect the escalation in property values that has occurred since 1999, when the fees first came into existence. It was stated then that the tree mitigation fees would be considered by the City Council at their strategic planning meeting in January, which has just passed. And I was not aware that there was a strategic planning meeting, and I'm not aware that one is planned. Could you advise me on that?
Yes, the Council decided not to have a strategic planning session this year.
In view of that, I would like to make a motion for the Commission's consideration that City Council meeting, I believe the date would be February 26th, not the next one, but the one after that, I would like to make a motion. I don't think that there's a lot of things that have to go into that report. So, at any rate, that's my motion, and I'd appreciate a second.
Discussion?
How about a second for discussion?
Second, and then we can discuss it?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Just a question for you, Warren. The commission, I'm assuming, can ask that something be put on the agenda for the council, but can't designate a date. Is that correct?
That's correct. And you can make okay, you can make recommendations to the City Council, and you can ask them or suggest to them that they agendize a certain item for discussion, but I wouldn't recommend that you specify any specific dates, since it's up to the Council in terms of what they put on their agenda. But if the Commission wants to pass a motion, make a recommendation that the Council consider this at, you know, the earliest opportunity, that probably would be most appropriate.
I'd certainly be willing to modify my motion.
Make some recommendations on top of what they come up with.
Okay, I would like to add that the Atascadero Native Tree Association has been working with staff and the professional forester, and we're getting some figures on what it costs for replanting. From my own personal perspective, since I'm finding out this is more complicated than I had originally thought, it's just not a matter of putting a tree in the ground, I would like to wait until we have some better figures as to what it's going to cost us, because I think then we would have that staff and ANTA will have some information to provide to the council and to staff in putting together a report.
Well, I understand Commissioner Hetherington's comments. However, it's almost been a decade since the tree fees have been updated, and so I think time has long passed that we get some action on this. It is also, as I understand it, the sole prerogative of the City Council to increase the fees. And so I would suggest that earliest convenience means as soon as ANTA is able to put together that information.
Well, ANTA and staff, because
and staff.
We're working very closely, actually. Warren sets up the meetings. He'll have the figures for the expenses that we're having. There's a lot more staff time, I'm not just talking about Warren's time, but staff time in monitoring these things and coming up with the figures for the costs and things like that. One of the city park staff has been allocated some time, so you know his hours are going to have to be figured into this. And I'd like to hear Warren's perspective on what would be a good time.
Well, we're working on our first replanting phase right now. I do expect that we'll probably have most of the bills in for this first phase in the next month or so. So we could, based on that, at least have those numbers available, attach those to the commission's resolution and forward that information to the council, probably.
The water company. So to me, that's a limited sample. I would like to have a few more samples so that we get a better idea of what it costs in different kinds of property. And by the way, we're using all city property at this time. So if you think that we're going to have enough information based on this one planting site, keep in mind that we got 70 Valley Oaks donated to us also, which the probability of that happening, we have no idea if that'll reoccur.
That's correct. This is probably going to be the more idealistic of all sites. So the longer we wait, the more accurate our numbers will be in terms of the more sites we collect money or estimates from.
Commissioner Fonsi?
I think we would have more a stronger recommendation to the City Council if we were to wait. And if we were to do so, we would be able to speak with a stronger voice and have more credence behind what we're saying than rather a recommendation that they consider the fees.
Okay, we have a number of planting sites in mind. We've been working on this for a year. We finally have got started. So I'm going to defer to...
Appreciate Commissioner O'Grady's concern about going another decade with the time. Now, you're talking about an ANTA analysis, cost analysis. Is that the same one that...
No. The Atascadero Native Tree Association has been working closely with the city.
Okay.
And so my hours are, you know, a senior citizen's contributions and a great love of the trees. But that's not, you know... We're using tree mitigation funds, but we're starting to find out that there are a lot more variables, a lot more monitoring, a lot more staff. It takes a lot more time. So even if a developer does it, if we're going to have trees planted, we're probably not getting sufficient mitigation to get the trees in the ground. You know, the 3-for-1 or 2-for-1. Isn't very realistic.
I agree, but could we put a time limit? I mean, you're doing the ideal site right now. Do you have a time frame for when you'll be doing other sites so that we're not a decade out?
I would say by the end of May.
Call of the question. We have a first in this.
Okay. Roll call.
Okay. Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
No, I think it's premature without additional information.
Chairperson O'Keefe?
Yes, I'm going to defer to the rest of the commissioners, although I think it's premature and you won't have as much information as you need.
Okay. 4-1 motion passes.
My second item deals with drive-thrus. At the Planning Commission meeting on December 18th, we considered a Carl's Jr. drive-thru. Several of the commissioners at that time opined that they thought they needed a policy from the City Council and that to deny a drive-through might be either discriminatory or otherwise unfair to an applicant requesting a drive-through. During the appeal of that decision, which was in favor of the drive-through of the Carl's Jr. Commissioner Fine, to drive-throughs. To date, I haven't heard any indication from the City Council one way or the other, and so to force the issue, I would like to make a motion consistent with what I heard several of the other commissioners request, that the City Council give us a policy on drive-throughs before any more drive-throughs are submitted for consideration by the Planning Commission.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Question for staff.
Yes.
I was wondering if we can ask for them to make a decision, or do we ask them to put this to public hearing, or what would be the best approach in terms of wording?
Well, I think you can ask them for a policy. They'll have to go through some sort of formal process, most likely, to adopt a policy, and then it'll be up to the council in terms of exactly the nature, and depending on what the policy is, you know, if the policy requires an ordinance change or a moratorium, that will require public hearings and noticing. So I think probably leaving it fairly vague in terms of just asking for direction on a policy.
A policy, will that take it to public hearing or not necessarily?
Not necessarily.
Would you consider a revision to your motion to state that we'd like to see it go to a public hearing?
Well, I'm always in favor of public hearings, but I think that's borders on telling the City Council how to conduct their business. I would amend my motion to get partway to your request would be to encourage the council to conduct public hearings in conjunction with their development of a policy. Is that help?
Okay, that's acceptable.
Well, are you changing your motion?
Yes, I was modifying my motion.
Okay, and does the party who seconded accept the modifications?
I do.
Okay. Would you read back the motion now, because there's some things in here. There's the one part that I heard when it was made before any more drive-throughs can be, I'm not quite sure, but it's like, okay, we're asking for a moratorium on people bringing in applications.
Okay, I'll read what I have, and then you can have a policy.
Thank you, Grace. That sounds right to me.
Discussion?
Go ahead.
Warren, do we have any applications for drive-thrus that have been submitted?
Yes, we do right now. The Rite Aid drugstore would have a drive-thru. And regardless of whatever recommendation you make, the only way that we could prevent the processing of applications for CUPs for drive-thrus would be with a moratorium. So that would require a formal legal action by the council. So you could recommend that, but it would be non-binding until the council passed a moratorium.
Well, since it's not binding, why don't we revise it, Dan, to state that we'd like them to consider this at the earliest possible date, as you did in the last motion?
Because I guess I want to light a fire and make this an urgent item. I'm not calling for a moratorium. I'm calling for speed. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
I don't like the idea that this is perceived as a threat in any way. And the wording of this leads me to believe it could be taken that way.
Well, it's
not intended that way.
I'm asking for a revision of the motion.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
And Chairperson O'Keefe?
No, I have problems with the fact that it will be a moratorium, and the City Council agenda may be quite full. So,
okay, 4-1 motion.
I have problems with the wording of the motion.
Okay, 4-1 motion passes.
Okay. Is there any other Planning Commission business?
After the drive-through appeal, I talked to the Air Pollution Control District, and I asked them that if it would be possible for them to come and make a presentation to the Planning Commission on particulate matter and, you know, some of the things that are going to start compounding as we get busier with the freeway interchange and start adding more drive-through restaurants. So I would like to offer that suggestion to the council, the commission, to see if maybe we could do that on a night that we perceive to be a light agenda and then maybe have them come and present.
Well, if the city council doesn't get the same information, then I'm not sure that I see what the benefit is. Invitation to the city council, and, you know, we typically don't invite the council here. We go where we're invited to the council meetings for information.
I don't think there's anything that would be inappropriate in terms of the commission requesting more information on an environmental issue. Clearly, it's within your, you know, your scope of responsibilities. If we were to have a APCD presentation, we definitely would want to advise the council so that they could attend or, you know, watch on the tapes. And if the council moves forward with some sort of policy, they may want a similar presentation. So, you know, we could look at all the different options, but if the commission wants to request that, you know, we can definitely agendize that for a future agenda.
Okay. Is the consensus then that you would like to have that?
Yes.
All right.
For me, yes.
I'd like to ask, if you're going to be talking to them, Pam, that you ask them for something in writing, please, so that we can actually look at the figures and see what they're talking about, not just an opinion.
The presentations that I've been at with them, they generally do a PowerPoint and then give you a hard copy. But I'm sure that the lays.
Okay, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington? Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Keefe?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Disclosure of ex parte communication. Prior to a project hearing, Planning Commission members must disclose any communications they have had on any quasi-judicial agenda items. This includes but is not limited to tentative subdivision maps, parcel maps, variances, conditional use permits, and plan development permits. This does not disqualify the Planning Commission member from participating and voting on the matter, but gives the public and applicant an opportunity to comment on the ex parte communication. I'll start with Commissioner Hetherington.
I have nothing to report.
I visited the site on item two.
I visited the site with Kelly Gleason. I had a few questions, which she cleared up for me.
I also visited the site.
Nothing to report.
Okay, this is a portion of the meeting reserved for persons wishing to address the commission on any matters not on this agenda and over which the commission has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 5 minutes for public comment. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar? And there's only one item on, and it's the approval of the minutes of the regular planning
commission. So
moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Keefe?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Okay, we have one public hearing, and that's an amendment to a CUP.
Yes, good evening, Commissioners. This item before you is a conditional use permit amendment for the Home Depot Center, Phase 2 of their development. The project is located on the northern end of El Camino Real. This side of El Camino is the current Home Depot Center, and this is a vacant graded commercial center, which is Phase 2 of that development. The proposed amendments are on this parcel located here, which is part of the Phase 2. So the existing use, there is a master plan of development on the site currently, which does include a gas station for this particular portion, a drive-through facility, and a car wash. And this is shown in the master plan of development here. The applicant tonight is proposing to eliminate the car wash facility, eliminate the drive-through, and reconfigure the parking and landscaping for those two actions. The plan of development to allow the construction of the Home Depot Center. In 2000, it was brought back for an additional amendment to Phase 2, which reconfigured some of the commercial uses there and did include a gas station with 5 pump islands, a car wash facility, and a drive-through restaurant combined with the gas station. They also showed architectural elevations and a landscape plan as part of that amendment to the master plan. So this was the originally approved master plan of development for this particular location in phase two of the project site, and this is the proposed master plan of development today. As you can see, the car wash facility and the drive-through facility is eliminated as part of this project. The site design is very similar to the original approved master plan of development. The entry location off of El Camino Real remains the same. The general location of the building remains fairly consistent with the original approval. The applicant is requesting tonight, there was some miscommunication between the applicant and the landscape architect, and this was shown as parking in the original master plan of development, and they would like to keep it as parking. Staff is in support of that recommendation with an added condition that landscape fingers be provided every six spaces, which is what is currently allowed by our code, although was not part of the original master plan of development. Next to Graves Creek, which runs behind the development if you were to continue down that bridge on El Camino Real. So the project is conditioned tonight to extend that bike trail all the way up to the corner of San Ramon and El Camino Real as part of the project. When they went out there and staked the actual easement area, it was noticed that there is a small oak tree 8 inches in diameter and some utility areas there that they need to squeeze that trail in between, and they're not sure if they can do that with maintaining the tree because the utilities are set where they're supposed to be. So they are asking for approval to remove the tree this evening. They are willing to try and save the tree if possible, but they don't want to come back if that tree does need to come out. So staff is in support of that proposal, and we are recommending that if the tree does need to be removed, that they replant along that easement area, which would be 3 5-gallon trees. The appearance of the gas station is fairly similar to what was originally approved. To the gas station, what did I say, Carlos? Oh, no. Is what was originally approved, minus the drive-through facility that was there for the combined drive-through restaurant. In terms of facing the parking lot, and signage for the canopy is conditioned to comply with current code, which does not allow for color banding unless it's included within the signage area. So the findings for the project are included in your staff report. They are the general findings for conditional use permit. And staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution to approve the proposed amendments with the added tree removal approval and reconfigured parking with the added landscape fingers. And that does conclude staff's presentation. I believe a representative is in the audience if you have any questions.
Do you have any questions? Commissioner Hetherington?
Kelly, could you help me understand one thing? They're giving up the drive-through and the car wash. That was part of the conditional use permit that was done in 1999. Is that correct?
Yes.
When they give that up, does it disappear? Or if they change their minds down the road, does it need to come back to the commission?
If they wanted to add an additional drive-through facility, it is because we changed the code in PD9 listed as a conditional use in the PD overlay language, and they would have to come back to the commission for any future amendments to the master plan.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? I have a question. When you were talking about the signage, you said that the
requires that a master sign program be adopted for centers with more than 3 tenants.
Okay.
And so it doesn't really allow those centers to go under just the regular code sections. It anticipates that they'll be a little different. If this was just a standalone building on its own and not part of a center, the maximum signage requirements would be 40 square feet for signage.
And what did you say it is now?
Their sign is approximately 55 square feet.
Okay. And is there going to be a pole sign?
There is already approved for phase two an additional freeway sign, which is consistent with the one that's currently built out there. It is not on the applicant's property. It is a little bit farther down. It's part of the approval for phase two.
So you're saying there will not be an additional pole sign?
There's an additional one to the one that's built today, but not they're not asking for anything above and beyond what was already approved as part of phase two.
Okay. Does that pole sign that was approved exceed the height limits?
I have not looked into the approval of that sign.
And then I have another question. with regard to the bike path, when we were out there, the gate was locked, which means,
which is not necessarily the Chevron applicant, but is the manager of the center. The gate is locked because there's no safe access from that existing trail up to the sidewalk. So those facilities end, and while there's sort of a path in the grass, it's not really an accessible and safe route that's designated as a route.
But when that's put in, how do we get the gate unlocked?
If you were concerned about it, you could add a condition of approval to ensure that the gate was unlocked, although that is their intent to make that a through connection.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner, who?
Okay. Kelly, could you again describe the conflict between the tree, the trail, and the utilities?
Sure. So this is the rear of the proposed Chevron building here, where the trail will come around from San Ramon and El Camino and connect to the existing trail, which is over here. If you've been out there, there's an existing oak tree. It's probably 15 to 20 feet tall, and it's very scrubby down at the bottom. And then there's some existing utility boxes that are actually much closer to the tree kind of than they appear on the plan. So I believe what the applicant is going to do is to sort of trim up the tree and see if it's on the staking of the easement area and those constraints. It's not likely that that tree can survive within the trail.
There's an additional problem there, and there are overhead utility lines, and at some point that tree is going to grow into those, the utility lines, and the utility lines are not going to be removed.
Okay. Is the trail has to stay within that 20-foot easement? Can the trail fork around the tree?
We can certainly look into that if you wanted to condition approval of the tree removal, you know, looking at all options, including splitting the trail. I'm not sure if we have some clearance issues that we need to figure out through our public works and our trail standards, but certainly we can explore every option possible, and you can put that in the motion for approval if that's what you wished.
Okay. I think the tree would probably be a nice amenity on the trail.
Commissioner Fonsi.
Could you clarify the location of the signs? That apparently there's a canopy sign. Isn't there also a monument sign at the corner or not?
There is a proposed monument sign at the corner. I'm sorry, I didn't notice that before. In this location, I think one of your pages had the sign packet attached to it. It's a fairly standard monument sign.
Lighting that may interfere at the nighttime hours. Could you speak to that, please?
It's a gas station, so hours of operation, their representatives here can probably best answer that, but I think we all know pretty much how gas stations function. In terms of lighting, we do try and ensure that all of the lighting on the canopies is recessed so that there is no glare from that lighting. This Home Depot Center is also in a Census Code rural designated area, which means they do have to comply with a lower lighting level standard than within the Census Code designated urban areas. So we do look at those lighting levels and try and make sure that there is no off-site glare that would affect, you know, travelers on the 101 or adjacent residential areas.
Thank you.
Following up on Commissioner Fonsi's concern about the glare, so that we're sure that the glare is minimized, I would suggest a condition that the canopy fixtures be fully recessed, because I've seen so many partially recessed, and a little bit of the reflector below the canopy, which really does project quite a bit of glare. There is a bike rack on the project, correct?
Correct.
Is that bike rack mentioned in the conditions, or does it just...
That's correct.
Okay. Speaking of conditions, like the tree mitigation fees, almost a decade has passed since this project first surfaced, and I noticed there are conditions at the back of our staff report, but I guess I just need to ask if all of the latest standard conditions that the city typically attaches have been incorporated into this project here in 2008.
The standard conditions have been incorporated. Our new development standards necessarily haven't been revised for the entire phase two because we are just looking at this parcel, and that's why if they remove that planter, staff is recommending that you add a condition about the landscape fingers, which is consistent with our current code.
So you're not concerned about any of the other differences between your current development standards and what's in the project?
Correct. Their only application is to remove those two facilities.
Okay. I thought I saw an 8-inch DBH tree possibly being removed. Is that what that was?
Yes, in the way of the bike path.
And that was proposed to be replaced or mitigated with the planting of 5-gallon tree.
Are there any other questions?
Any landscape questions I should ask the applicant?
No.
Okay. The plant palette, I noticed that a couple of the plants that are proposed, one of them that won't grow in this zone, in zone 7, zone 8 and above, that is the ficus. As an exterior plant, it's great as an indoor plant. The other one's Buxus japonica, and it's very sensitive to heat, and we get warm here. So I have a feeling it was just a standard plant palette.
I know that the applicant did look at the palette that was approved as part of phase one of the development, and they made their landscaping consistent with that, but certainly if there's species that are not as suitable for this area, although I do know we have a range in Atascadero, you can certainly condition that those species be left out of the landscaping.
Or they could just look at it again.
Sure.
Any other questions? If not, I'll open it up to the applicant. Would the applicant please come up to the...
My name is Robert Adams. I represent Chevron for this project. I work for RHL Design Group. I think the biggest issue... that needs to be determined is that tree and that.
Excuse me, could you put the microphone up just a little bit more? When you reached down, you were projecting better, so I think that'll work.
Okay. I think the biggest issue is the tree and the bike path. I do have a picture of the tree, and we have talked to Joe. His last name starts with a C in Public Works. He has an issue with any trees, period, around the bike path. Right now, our bike path, if you could bring that picture back up, the tree actually stents more onto the bike path than that picture actually represents. From the edge of the 8-inch tree trunk, it's about 14 feet. And so it goes way into the bike path. And so 9 times out of 10, that tree is going to have to disappear. And when we replace that tree, we will put 5-gallon trees, but that those trees would be actually on our property, right next to our property line over there. We are not supposed to, by Public Works, put them near that bike path. So, sooner or later. Let me see. I do have pictures of the revised site plan if anybody wants to look at that. There was some coordination problems with the actual developer and Chevron. When we Chevron likes to have some type of partition away from the other development to distinguish their property from the rest of the development. Chevron's cleaning standards and site maintenance is very high, and they do not want to be included in any other site, say that they're not policing up their area. So Chevron always likes to have that little barrier. Originally, we wanted the large landscaping areas so we can put more trees in there and make the site very acceptable to all patrons. But they require those extra parking spaces for the whole parking count for the site development. The lighting for the center, all lighting on the center is, we have photometrics. None of the light leaves the site. There should be no glares in our photometrics when we submit to the building department.
How many parking places are you adding by taking out that landscape barrier?
No, the gas station does not need that many parking spaces.
Right. I'm going to have a hard time buying into that. Why do they need that many parking
spaces? The parking count goes with the rest of the development that hasn't been developed yet. For the whole center parking count, those would be included into the whole phase two parking count for the future stores that are going in.
Can that be compromised so that there's more of a landscape barrier rather than a parking wall barrier?
Westar would be the person to answer that question. They were supposed to be here tonight. Only thing I can actually comment on is anything regarding Chevron.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Fonsi?
I assume this will be a 24-hour-a-day operation. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And could you tell me approximately how many employees will be added by opening up this business?
Normally on hand at all times. In a
bike trail and the tree. Could you elaborate on that?
Yes, I could. I have not actually been to the site. Joe Chouinard is the one the applicant was talking about, and he saw the issue. But what I imagine the issue is the oak tree is on the slope bank where the trail is, and if the oak tree is there, you can't really construct a bike lane and the oak tree, because you got to dig down and put in the DG, and then the oak tree continues to grow, and the bike path aren't very compatible together. So I would think that the reason Joe told him that the tree should be removed is that you could mitigate with planting trees in another location to keep the bike path clear and the access to underneath the bridge by Graves Creek.
So are you saying it becomes a hazard then?
It becomes a hazard, and it obstructs the bike lane after a while.
Okay.
Could we see the applicant's picture?
Pardon?
Could we ask the applicant to pass his photos?
Sure.
So where do these three trees go, or could you clarify? I'm a little bit lost discussion.
If we have to put three more trees in, it'll be on our side of the property line. In your plans, you should see the dash line of our property line. It would be right on the other side of that.
It just flew out of my mind. Let me think a minute, and I'll get back to you.
Are there any other questions?
Oh, yes, I remember.
Following up on Commissioner Hetherington's concern about sacrificing the landscaping for additional parking spaces supposedly required by a future phase about which we don't have information, that is somewhat reminiscent of a situation that was presented to the Planning Commission a year ago January and resulted in some problematical issues. Is there any way we can focus in on that, just so that the commission, before it agrees to sacrifice that landscaping, can see the facts and make a decision here tonight without having to continue anything as far as that landscaping and 15 parking spaces are concerned?
Commissioners, I did put on the screen the approved master plan of development, which shows what will be built there in the future and what's approved to be constructed in the current configuration of the parking. Spaces shown in the current approved master plan of development versus the amended. So we would assume that those original parking counts did require additional spaces. We can certainly compare the totals that were approved during the original development and limit the number of spaces to that total so that if there are any additional, those become landscape planters. But I'm not sure that we'd want to take any away, as there's already an approved square footage of commercial development that's approved for the site, and we might dip below that code-required parking number.
So this is within that, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Do you have anything further you'd like to add, or do you have any questions?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to speak on this? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the commissioners for discussion and a vote. Commissioner Hetherington.
This came back tonight with the landscape rearranged and more parking places.
And went back to the owners of the site and what was approved there and what they needed to meet their parking calcs. It was discovered that they did need those additional spaces.
Thank you.
I just want to make a comment regarding changing the tree mitigation. I tend to follow the tree ordinance as it's written because in the past what has been attempted is to always modify it downward. And in this case, we're trying to increase the mitigation. But it can work both ways. And until the ordinance is changed, I cannot support requiring the applicant to do this. Now, if they choose to do it, because it actually wouldn't cost that much more to put in a few more trees because you've got your maintenance and things like that, that's the biggest part of getting the trees going is the ongoing maintenance, the watering and things like that. But if they would be agreeable to planting some more trees, I think that would enhance the property. But it works both ways.
I'd like to make a motion that the commission adopt resolution PC 2008-00 at their pleasure.
Okay, and would you add that the gate will be unlocked when the project is finished so that they can't currently use that bike path?
I don't know whether the Chevron can enforce that. I don't know that we can condition that.
Well, the path, there's a problem here, though, then.
I'd like some guidance from staff, please.
You could condition that because this is an amendment to the master plan, and while it's focused on that one parcel, the condition would apply to the master plan of development.
Okay, yes, I could accept that.
Okay.
And would you accept the condition to require fully recessed light fixtures in the canopy?
Yes, I could.
It's been a motion. Is there a second?
Oh, I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Can we discuss?
Any further discussion?
What are your feelings on the bike path and the tree?
I'm sorry, would you repeat that?
What are your feelings on the bike path and the tree, splitting the bike path around the tree, or at least looking at it? The existing oak that's there. Actually, a couple of items. I'd like to investigate again splitting the bike path around that oak tree. The oak tree is quite a healthy tree. I think it'll be many years before it's has any impact on the overhead power lines.
So you're asking that they consider this,
mm-hmm.
or you're demanding that this be a condition?
No. I'd like them to reconsider that. Also, I noticed that some of the plant materials have thorns along the bike path. Perhaps looking at a different plant species, one that does not have thorns.
Okay, let's see if we can clarify this. We have the motion on the floor, but you'd like to change this that the applicant would consider splitting the bike path to save the tree if possible, and consider changing the plants that are along the bike path. Is that correct?
That's correct. The plants that don't pose a danger of thorns to passing bikers.
You also thought that there were some plant materials that were not compatible with the climate.
In fact,
it out to let the tree remain and allow the bike path to function. We'll try to work together on that.
That's satisfactory, yes. Thank you, Steve.
I can accept that. How about the second?
Yes.
Very good.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, call for the vote.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Keefe?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Okay, that concludes our public hearings. Are there any commissioner comments and reports? Director's report?
Yes, just a couple quick items. At your last meeting, we had talked about discussing the zoning ordinance. At this meeting, we handed out some information. Because we knew we were going to be shy a couple commissioners, we decided not to agendize it tonight. It will be agendized for your next meeting. So, you know, you want to start your review of that. We will have that as a discussion item at the end of that meeting. Other things that are going on, there's a CUP application that has been submitted for a drug and alcohol re-meeting. So we haven't formally invited the Planning Commission, and based on the Brown Act restrictions, we can't have a quorum there. We do expect that this is going to be a very controversial project when it comes before the Commission, and that's why we didn't want to call this as a Commission meeting, because then that would require the Commissioners to be there, and we think that there's some potential problems with the Commission being involved in a meeting of that sort, where it could be somewhat heated. I do understand, I think Commissioner O'Keefe and O'Grady will be attending, and that's fine. We'll just, you know, have to follow the direction the city attorney had given us previously on how to, you know, not participate, I guess, in that sort of a meeting. Potentially one other commissioner could attend. If you do want to attend, let me know just so that I can coordinate and make sure we don't have a quorum ahead of time. But that meeting will be this Thursday. Staff will be taking notes, so we'll be providing notes in terms of generally the issues that were raised at that meeting. We haven't gotten to a point where we're looking at scheduling this for any agendas. We're really kind of in the preliminary review phase. All the departments have different concerns about the project, and we wanted to. City will be hosting a downtown forum next Thursday, which is February 14th. It'll be here in the City Council chambers from 7:30 in the morning to about 9 o'clock. The purpose of that is to basically provide a opportunity for the different property and business owners and other people interested in downtown to come in and participate in some discussion groups just about what the current business and economic climate is in the downtown area, and provide input on any recommendations they might have. The City Council is interested in hearing from the public on downtown, so we'll be doing these little focus group discussion groups and then forwarding their comments to the City Council.
So this is a public meeting, and there will be ads in the newspaper notifying the public?
Yes.
About this? So
yeah, it will be a public meeting. Let's see, other things. We did get a revised general plan amendment application from Walmart on Friday. So that has come in. Their revised application is for a combination retail grocery store with a garden center. The entire store. The process is, because it's a general plan amendment, we will take this revision back to the City Council and ask them the same question we asked them in October, which is staff authorized to process this application? We're looking at March for that council meeting, and as we get closer to formal official dates, we'll let the commission know. We'll encourage the commission to attend that meeting just so that you can hear the discussion and deliberations on that process. And let's see, final
Warren?
Thing. Yes.
My understanding is we would allow, zoning allows 150,000 square feet.
The general plan
correct
text sets a cap for that zone at 150,000 square feet. There's nothing in the zoning ordinance about that.
So that's the change, is we need to add that to the zoning ordinance?
No. Right now, the general plan is divided into two pieces. You have the general plan policy document, which is the book that has the different written policies, and then you have the general plan land use diagram, which is the colored map that it designates where different land uses are allowed within the city. threshold, they don't require a general plan text amendment any longer. They still, the site is half multifamily residential, so they still require a general plan land use diagram amendment to change the whole site into a commercial designation. So originally they've required a text amendment and a map amendment. Now they're down to just a map amendment. And then the map, anytime you change the general plan land use diagram or map, it automatically or almost always requires the zoning map to be amended so that they're consistent. So that then triggers the zoning map amendment simultaneously. On top of that, we'll have a specific plan. They'll tie all the different areas together. There'll be the EIR and then probably some sort of subdivision map act action as well.
Which of all those voluminous amendments, changes, what have you, if any, will be presented to the Planning Commission?
Well, the Planning Commission will have to make a recommendation on all of those items before the Council can take any action. So the process will be, we'll have to make a recommendation on all the components to the Council. Council will make the final decision.
I have a question. Is it a full set of plans, or is it just kind of a general outline of what they're proposing?
It's similar to what was proposed in October. It's just an outline of the general plan amendment. So it's we have the elevations. We have the floor plan that shows the different uses of and intensity of the interior of the store. Then we have the preliminary site plans, grading plans, utility plans.
So it's kind of just a footprint plan at this point without a...
I think the utility and grading plans are very detailed. You can okay. see exactly what's proposed.
Okay. Is there going to be anything else on the next Planning Commission meeting besides what you already discussed?
I think we just have a couple minor items. I think an oversized garage. There was a planned development that got bumped to the next meeting. Plan on the hill off of Halcon Road.
Okay, so we'll probably have another late meeting.
Where is the PD located?
Which meeting?
Didn't you say you have a PD also?
It's postponed.
Postponed?
It's postponed.
Okay, thanks.
Where is that PD?
It is next to the Walmart site.
Oh, okay. It's always nice to kind of know what's coming up. Anything else?
Yeah, I do have one item. On Thursday night, we're going to be putting on a workshop on roundabouts and the interchange operational improvements right here in this room. It'll be Thursday from 4 until 7. I'll be there with WTrans, who's our transportation consultant. And what we're going to do is we're going to have exhibits around the room of different proposals for each of the interchanges, what we're looking at maybe doing someday in the future. And then at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock, WTrans will give a half an hour presentation that they give on roundabouts, how they function. They show a movie. They kind of just do a public education piece. So we encourage you to attend and learn all about it again Thursday from 4 until 7 with presentations at 5 and 6, and the presentation lasts about a half an hour.
That's the same night as the proposed, also of the board?
And that would be Mr. Gerhardt?
No. Reisman, Ron Reisman is a...
Okay, I haven't contacted him. Okay. I contacted Steve Martin.
Okay. But my point is that I wouldn't, if you could possibly send out an email to all of the board members,
okay.
because they bring this up, but they're very vague on details, and I think it would help if they had more information.
Yeah. All right, I'd be glad to do that.
Commissioner Hetherington.
I had one last question for Warren. Is there any news on the Printree meetings?
We don't have any future meetings scheduled at this point. Our last meeting with the group, we had talked about our historic consultants recommended corrections on the printery. We did have a follow-up meeting with Mr. Gearhart's structural engineer on January 10th, where our historian and our plans examiners met with his structural engineer and went over all the required components of a resubmittal in detail. We spent a couple hours on that. We've been in contact with the structural engineer. He is working on a check, and then we'll schedule a meeting with the applicant and the steering group to review the status and where we're at. We're hopeful that we'll be in a position where we can start the formal historic analysis and get moving toward preparing the mitigated negative declaration if that's the appropriate document for the project.
So that'll be the CEQA process?
That's the CEQA process.
What is the status of the report on emergency escape routes that the City Council requested?
We'll be giving a report on the emergency access routes on the 12th of February, so in a week from tonight, to the City Council. It'll be under the Atascadero Road Program report.
Thank you.
There's nothing else. Meeting is adjourned.